This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The race for the next mayor of Covington seems to be focused on two very different perceptions of the city and whether it's moving in the right direction. Howard Wilkinson recently spoke with the two candidates in the race, Sherry Caron and Joe Meyer. First, we'll hear from Mayor Sherry Caron, who is currently serving her first term.
Mayor Caron, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Howard.
You know, obviously you're running for a second term as mayor. You had been a city commissioner before that. What would be your priority on day number one of your second term? What do you want to deal with immediately?
I guess, firstly, there'll be a new commission. Mm-hmm. So pull together the new commission and key staff and sit down and kind of get a comfort level and hear what the new commission, kind of what they're feeling. And that's kind of what we did with this current commission. We got together and kind of just talked about our wishes. And from that, we went and set goals that we all agreed upon. We called them the Spirit of Progress goals. And those goals gave us focus and helped us prioritize where we put resources. So I think that would be the first thing I want to do. And that will help them also get acquainted with the staff that we have for the new commissioners, yes.
Right, and they're
that would be first thing.
There are going to be at least two new commissioners.
Yes.
And you've sort of endorsed a slate of candidates, haven't you?
Well, you know, I think that was mistaken. I did.
Okay.
The question to me was put was, who would you like to work with? And that was at a Covington Business Council forum. And the week before, they had the commission candidates. And not all the candidates were there for that. So I was honest and I said, you know, I called out the two commissioners, the current commissioners, as they've been the ones who are running. I called them out because we've worked well. We've been able to get a lot accomplished together. And then I called out the two who I thought I could work with the best. But I'm not endorsing necessarily anybody.
Yeah.
But I was asked a question and I was honest about it.
Tell our listeners why you believe you've earned a second term as mayor. What do you point to when you go out and talk to groups?
Well, we've accomplished a lot. I think I've always, even from the get-go, I've been more of a, I was more of a community volunteer before being a city commissioner. And so I work well with the public, with the communities, and the neighborhood groups. And one of the things that I'm very proud of is that we have more than just public input. We have really very meaningful civic engagement. Sometimes it's a little messy because it's hard to please everybody, but for the most part, we use them as kind of our guiding light. So I'm very proud of that, and because of that relationship, we've been able to accomplish some really, really good things. And so I'm proud of the work that I did with the Pieselburg area. Regarding some hillside development, that they were being threatened with, and mm-hmm. that led to hillside guidelines. I'm proud of the farmers market. I was part of that initiative. The regional farmers market was selected. Covington was selected for the regional farmers market, and the farmers market has brought a lot of good energy into the city. I'm very proud of the urban forestry program. I helped write the urban forestry ordinance. I was on the urban forestry board, and the urban forestry component of the city, it's, you know, almost every one of our neighborhoods now has wanting to do a tree planting program. So I'm very proud of that. But for as far as me being mayor, I'm proud of my relationship with staff, being a team player with them, supporting them, and guiding them in certain areas that where maybe my expertise might be a little better. My background's in architecture, so mm-hmm. the physical appearance of the city. I've been very involved in the streetscaping projects, and I think it's made a difference, and we have. And then my involvement, I will tell you, I think I'm one of the hardest working mayors the city's ever had. There are times when I put in 12 to 14 hours a day, and that's during the week, and then I even put in time during the weekend. And so I'm very much hands-on, but I also I represent the city in a lot of organizations, and one of those is OKI, and we've been very successful because of that relationship in getting grants for our streetscaping projects and our road reconstruction projects. I think the amount of grants that we've gotten for those kind of things is, just this coming year, I think we've been approved. This coming year, we have about close to $12 million in streetscaping road mm-hmm. reconstruction projects that we'll be working on.
Mayor, obviously, Covington at some time in the near future is going to lose the jobs from the IRS center. And it's my understanding that even, you know, after those jobs are gone, that it's going to take some time before the city or private developers to be able to come in and redevelop that property. How big a blow is that to the city, and what do you do in the meantime to build new jobs and bring new companies to the city?
Well, So we knew the flat top facility was not working for the IRS because that's where they do a lot of the paper IRS filing.
Right.
And they're getting more into the e-filing. And so we actually met with the IRS earlier this year, a little late last year, to talk about, you know, their plans of maybe going vertical, which would be more efficient process for them. And so we were told at the time that our facility was third in line for being repurposed. Kansas and Utah were going to be one and second. Well, I guess since that, when we met with them earlier this year, and because of their financial wherewithal, they decided only to do the two.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the thing that shocked us the most was that the way we heard about it, and even Senator McConnell's office, heard about it the same time we did. So, and I think that the reason they did that is they wanted to let their employees know before it became public. But our biggest concern at the time was what happens to the employees who will be losing their jobs. So we did get a closer figure as to what the number is. It's like about 1,600. Some of those are temporary jobs, part-time jobs. Some are full-time. And so we've been in communication with the IRS on a weekly basis since they first announced. And so we've got connected with Gateway Community and Technical College and then also our Kentucky Career Center. They are now hooked up with the IRS. And for when it comes time to possibly retraining the employees who still want to have further employment. So that's working.
Is Covington a city that you believe is friendly to development and to companies that want to either expand or move into the area?
Oh, yes, for sure. But let me go back to the IRS question because you talked about jobs and revenue. So the IRS brings in about $1.5 million in revenue yearly.
Mm-hmm.
And just in last year, we brought in about $1.4 million in extra payroll. In the previous year, it was about $1.2 million. So just in the last 2 years, we've almost doubled the loss from what the IRS would be in 2019. And we have further growth coming. So we just, CTI, clinical trials, will be bringing in 500-plus jobs. And we have another 100-plus jobs coming to city from the Huntington Bank. And then we have another one in the works. And there's huge interest in the city right now. So when you talk about mm-hmm. how is the city easy to work with, so we are. And so if you talk to the developers of the Hotel Covington, if you talk to Tony Christians, New Orleans Development, who's doing a lot of the really fantastic rehab work. If you talk to Al Hanley, he's doing some rehab work. They all say that we've been excellent to work with. Mm-hmm. I know my opponent is saying just the opposite, but right. I think that's for people who maybe are not familiar with doing development in the urban core, which is very different than doing development on a clean piece of property out in the suburbs. But once developers make contact with the city and they have a point person, we're very welcoming, and we do the best to make it as easy as possible.
Mayor, obviously the heroin epidemic is a regional problem. It's not limited to one city or one county or one state. My question to you is, what do you see on a daily basis in terms of the strain that it puts on Covington's first responders dealing with overdose cases? Can they handle this and still perform all their normal duties?
It's a strain, and I think the hardest thing for them is that, we have the drug Narcan now, so when someone overdoses, they can pull them out of out of that. But then, one or two weeks later, that person might be back, and they're doing the same thing again. I'm involved with the Northern Kentucky Heroin Impact Task Force, and actually we've talked to some of our legislators already, but that's going to be one of the things we'll try to change next year in Frankfurt, is that there'll be some legislation so when someone does overdose and our emergency responders are called, that there's follow-up with that individual. Right now, technically, they're not really allowed to get their contact information or to follow up, and so that's what's needed. And by doing so, we can make sure that person's on the right track and not getting into trouble again. So I think that'll be a big help. But the heroin thing is big all across our region. It's just not Covington. But the change we got in state legislation last year, where the amount of heroin that you sell is now the same penalty in Kentucky as it is in Cincinnati, that's kind of stopped so many of the Cincinnati dealers coming over here, which they were before, because they could sell more over here before it became a Class D felon. We're doing a lot regarding educating people. We're doing a lot to lessen the stigma of heroin addiction and getting people into recovery. And we're working with the Hamilton County Heroin Coalition on a more regional education campaign right now. So I think we're on a good track, but it's hard. It's not only hard for our emergency responders. It's hard for the people that you see who have an addiction, and then their families, and the families that suffer because of it. Mm-hmm. But the good thing is, there's more people who are aware of it. It affects all ages, affects all income levels, and everybody seems to be going in the same direction and trying to help deal with it.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being with us today. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
That was Howard Wilkinson speaking with Covington's incumbent mayor, Sherry Caron. Next, we'll hear Howard's interview with her challenger, Joe Meyer, who has served in both the Kentucky legislature and the executive branch of state government.
Mr. Meyer, thanks for being with us today.
Glad to be here.
Good. You're obviously a well-known name in Covington, having been around for a very long time. A lot of people were surprised when you decided to run for mayor. Tell me this, day number one, if you're elected and you walk into that office, what's the first thing that you want to deal with on your desk?
Well, believe it or not, the very first thing I want to do is have the city commission adopt rules of procedure for the conduct of city commission meetings. It's really startling, but I've had incumbent city commissioners tell me that they do not know how to get items on the agenda for consideration by the full board. And at one of our mayoral forums, the incumbent mayor acknowledged that and said, well, look, it's real easy. These commissioners just have to go to the city manager, and if he approves, well, it'll go on the agenda. And I'll tell you, Howard, I was taken aback. I could just imagine the Cincinnati City Council allowing City Manager Black to set their agenda.
Yeah.
I don't think it would go very far. So the whole notion of how the City Commission operates, how it deals with issues, how it interfaces with the public is one of those real fundamental things that is a procedural requirement, but really important to the functioning of the government over time.
Right. One of the things that has kind of been a really big blow to Covington is the loss of jobs at the IRS Center, about 1,800 jobs. How does a city even begin to absorb something like that?
Well, you know, the good thing is that we've gotten a few years advance notice.
Mm-hmm.
The bad thing is that the procedures for that the federal government go through to have a piece of property declared surplus so that it can be turned over to other hands and redeveloped is extremely lengthy and complex. And it starts with requiring that the GSA offer it to every other federal agency across the nation. And it ends up years later. So you're looking at a 3 to 5 year process at least once the property is declared surplus before it is turned into hands where it can be developable. And based on recent experiences here, the length of time, for example, that Novation has taken in Newport, I think it's fair to say that, you know, we're looking at decades, 10, 15, 20 years before that site gets redeveloped. So in the meantime, Covington has to refocus its economic development programs, and I think number one is we have to work really hard to support the companies that are here already. If you look back and just think that, you know, we're losing far more than 1,800 jobs, but if we through the IRS Center, but if we had kept Omnicare, if we had kept Nielsen, if we had kept St. Elizabeth Hospital, you know, and I could mention a few others, we're literally talking thousands of jobs that the city has lost in the past several years before the IRS came along. So, number one, we need to focus on retaining and helping the companies that are here grow. And number two, we need to refocus the city's economic development initiatives from the expansion of rental housing to the attraction of companies that are heavy on employment to employment based programs.
Well, you know these business leaders in Covington. What do they tell you they want from City Hall in terms of encouragement to either stay or expand?
Well, business leaders tell me that Covington city government is extremely hard to work with. They're very opaque. They tell me they don't know what the rules are. They figure that, quite honestly, more than one has told me they just don't think they would get it. They get a fair shot when they're dealing with Covington city government. So item number one is to become very transparent. When we have rules and programs, to lay those out clearly, to engage with our business community in a very supportive as opposed to commanding way to help them meet their needs and help them grow.
So you think there's
a major attitude,
a cultural problem there where they're just not being encouraged or being discouraged.
They're being discouraged, and once you do work with the Covington city government, it is such a controlling environment that projects wind up taking years. And I could give you some examples of those. On the one hand, on the other hand, the city government does not follow through and help be good project managers, nor do they help clear the way by dealing with some of the red tape or bureaucratic obstacles that can slow down business investment and development.
Do you lay that at the feet of Mayor Caron, or whose responsibility is that?
You know, the way the city government in Covington is structured, it's a city manager form of government.
Mm-hmm.
All of the executive and all of the legislative authority is vested in the city commission as a whole. So it is the responsibility of the city commission. Now, they've got professional staff, but they have a history of not holding their professional staff accountable. So, yes, I hold the city commission responsible because they're the deciders. I hold them responsible for not making sure the policies are clear. I also hold them responsible for not holding professional staff accountable for their decisions and for the programs that they implement or fail to implement, and for creating the type of environment that's supportive of business expansion in Covington.
I've heard you say that your opponent is running on a stay the course platform, and that you are running on a platform of change. What do you mean by that exactly? What is the change?
Well, there are many, many issues on which I disagree with the incumbent and the entire city commission. So things like accountability for the professional staff, I'd be much stronger on accountability than they are. Parking in Main Strasse, a total mess. I would change it. The way existing small businesses are dealt with in the Central Business District when it comes to business incentives and being disadvantaged by incentives that are offered to new people, I would very much more support the local businesses. The city eliminated ambulance service and reduced fire protection in South Covington. I would restore that. The city has a terrible working relationship with the police and firefighters and the other city employees. You know, I think that city employees have to be full partners in the process of government. The city government has ignored economic development in the Latonia part of Covington. I would favor that. This city commission and government has taken code enforcement from a full-time to a part-time position. And look, you cannot have effective code enforcement in a city of the age and size of this with part-time people running around. So I would dramatically change the way that code enforcement is working. Mm-hmm. This city government, this mayor, supports tolls on the Brent Spence Bridge. I'm adamantly opposed to tolls, and I firmly believe that that project, as it's currently planned, is a horrible detriment to the city and to the people and to the businesses of Covington. And I would stand up and be a much stronger advocate for Covington on that issue. The trash contract in Covington with Rumpke is a nightmare. It used to be you had garbage, you put it out at the curb, they picked it up, and it's over. Now you have to put it in certain cans. Now if you've got more than what gets into a can, unless you don't have a green sticker, they won't pick it up. If you have, on and on and on, regulations and limitations that completely frustrate the normal people who live in Covington and puts them at a huge disadvantage, and it's at a much higher cost than full service was. Cycling was cut from weekly to every other week. Howard, have I given you an idea that
a
demand for policy-driven changes?
Obviously, Covington's not going to solve the heroin problem on its own, but I'm wondering if you're seeing how much of a strain it's putting on first responders in Covington dealing with overdose cases and is there enough regional cooperation going on to be able to deal with this?
Well, look, the first part of your question is yes, the heroin epidemic is putting a tremendous burden on both our law enforcement and our emergency, our EMS staff who operated through the fire department. It's increased their workload immensely, and the city government has been responding by cutting both police and fire services. That's a huge issue, and I'll point out that both the police and the firefighters organizations have endorsed my candidacy. A city like Covington bears a disproportionate share of the cost for providing law enforcement and ambulance services to those who are in the types of straits that our heroin users are. We must expand the regional cooperation, but the problem is so big that it has to be done collaboratively with other governments, with the private sector, and we have to be really effective advocates in Frankfurt and our state government to get the types of financial support and programs that we need, as well as in Washington. And that's another difference between the incumbent and myself. I can be very effective in those arenas, and my incumbent, my opponent, is certainly a lot less experienced.
Mr. Meyer, thank you very much for being with us today.
You're welcome, Howard.
Covington mayoral candidate Joe Meyer speaking with WVFQ's Howard Wilkinson. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Here and Now, coming up next on 91.7 WVXU. Most political experts say Donald Trump has an unlikely path to winning 270 electoral votes. But with less than a week until Election Day, new polling shows the race is now a virtual tie between Trump and Hillary Clinton. Political junkie Ken Rudin and WVXU political reporter Howard Wilkinson join us on the next Cincinnati Edition to discuss the latest election news. That's Cincinnati Edition, Thursday afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.